This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. It is 6 a.m. in the morning. If it's a.m., it's in the morning. Monday the 15th of June. We're into another week, guys. How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Guess what I did?
You ran.
Bingo.
You baked a cake.
Bingo.
I win.
You both win. I'm like creature of like predictability, isn't it? If only markets were like me, you could,
If markets were like you, we would be able to make some serious money. Now, huh?
No, unfortunately, I have no other. I have like one pattern for the weekend. But you know, just one quick observation. There are less people running already. And I'm sad.
Really?
Yes. Still more than pre-MCO, but it has somewhat tapered off. I think people have gone back to less physical exercise. So I want to, kind of encourage those people who kind of started to continue.
The novelty of being outside once again has started to wear
off.
Yeah,
I would like to see you all again on the streets, running with me.
I'm definitely one person you never saw on the streets. Okay. And you're probably still never going to see on the streets.
Well, continue the habit, but like 2 meters away from me, okay? That's my condition.
All right. Well, we are into the recovery movement control order this week as we went into last week. And we do still have lots of fascinating things lined up for you this morning. So later on, after the 6:30 news bulletin, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, I'll be talking about the international stories, one of which is that, Beijing might be heading for another lockdown because they've had a wave of coronavirus infections. And I'll be talking about a very interesting speech someone made, farewell speech. Quite
very
inspirational.
All right. Well, we'll be sure to keep an eye out for that later on after 6:30.
Lynn, I want to first talk about the fact that you completely skipped what I did over the weekend. You completely ignored me. You didn't
always
speak.
What did you do over the weekend?
You just
Roshan?
Moved on like that. Well, I made Punjabi tea and I was very happy to have two people over for tea. So that's really it. That's all I did. But let's talk about some serious stuff. 6:15,
hey, two people over for tea is a big deal nowadays.
It's a big deal. I was so happy just to have that situation in the house. But right now, 6:15 a.m., we'll be talking about, it's quite serious actually. So we're all having to wear plastic, our masks, and some people are wearing gloves. This creates a new problem with single-use plastics, which could cause COVID waste, which could be a significant problem in the future. We're going to be talking about that.
All right. And if you want to weigh in on those conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 0187898899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we're asking the question of whether or not COVID-19 has changed the way you utilize your space. So be sure to stay tuned for that after some music. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Interpol with If You Really Love Nothing. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. Now, this morning we're taking a look at the subject of how COVID-19 may be changing the way we utilize our spaces at home. Because, during this movement control order, a lot of us have been working from home. In fact, Roshan Kanison, you are working from home today, broadcasting to us all the way from the depths of Petaling Jaya. So the question now is whether or not being trapped at home for so long has meant that people's desire for space has changed. It's things like whether or not open plan houses will still be a thing, considering that if this kind of work from home trend goes on for longer, I think we've all kind of understood the downfall of open plan houses when you have an entire family cooped up in one space for too long.
Yeah, and then you can't get rid of them, right? Because they're like always in your face. Sound terrible. I'm one of the lucky ones where open house or open plan house still works because I live alone and it's just me. But there are some changes I realize I need. One of which is because I work from home, maybe it's not such a good idea that the dining table becomes the office table because then you just never leave. So perhaps one way is to create in your mind actual physical boundaries. So this is an office. This is where you eat. This is where you cook. This is where you watch TV, for example, rather than it all just being one homogeneous space. And then you find out you never leave work because you're just forever typing. And, you've got to keep work in a room maybe then creates like a boundary, like, okay, this is work time, this is, leisure time, and then relax.
What about you, Roshan? Because I know you've had kind of a lot of rearranging happening on your end for your work from home space.
Yes, I think it's very... I agree with Shaning. The physical space is very important. But let's say you don't have a lot of space. I think rituals help a lot there in kind of making that separation between what is work time, what is non-work time. Simple things like putting your laptop away and just setting that aside. But yes, I have. I finally have a desk set up at home, which I never used to have because I never needed it. I used to try to do all my work in the office, but that has drastically changed over the last few months. And I felt I needed a specific place to be productive. And I think this Fast Company article that we're taking a look at really highlights what, I mean, what is common sense, but I guess it puts it in very nice, eloquent words for us to make us feel a little smarter about ourselves. Things like phased pattern and concurrent pattern. Basically, phased pattern is your kids at school, you can work at home, lah, you know. Concurrent pattern is everyone's at home at the same time, which can be disruptive, lah.
Yeah, but I think there are some trends that people are going to adopt, one of which is this in this Fast Company article, self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting because even I tried to grow my own spring onions.
You did?
I did. And
how
I
much
did.
Success did you have?
It survived for a while. I did manage to actually grow some, and then after that it got really slimy and green, and then I just chucked it.
Aren't you also the person that doesn't have a garden? You've just concreted off the front of your house.
Yeah, yes. So I tried to grow in these plastic bottles. I tried to grow some bean sprouts too, but I gave up after a while. So I think these are some trends.
These poor plants, Shaoning.
Yeah, I know. I killed them. I just literally murdered them. But I think these are some trends that probably will continue because I've got friends who actually have gardens and they've started their little basil plants, their little coriander plants, chili plants, whatever. And I think that's a good idea that people should continue.
You know, something I'm particularly paying attention to is because if people can work from home, does that mean that they can move to different places, right? Can they move further away? Because a lot of times we like to stay close to for parents, it's staying close to the schools. For people who are working, stay close to the office so that you reduce your commute times. Will this allow us to then move away a bit further and maybe get bigger spaces? Because if you're living closer in the city, you can't really afford a big space. This may give people the opportunity to work further and further away from the office and get bigger spaces.
Yeah, and I think we've had these conversations before, right? Because what the global pandemic has really done is it has accelerated the pace of digital adoption. So I think a lot of companies now are realizing that it is possible to be productive while half your staff works from home. So there is the high chance that working from home may be an option for more people going forward. So if that's the case, you know, how is this going to change the demand for property and the demand for different spaces? Now, if you're interested in more talk about property, you can always tune into our property show as well. That happens every Friday at 9:30 a.m. Most recently, I think for World Environment Day on the 5th of June, Simwi Bun spoke with Lillian Tay, who's president of the Malaysian Institute of Architects, to talk a bit about how COVID-19 has changed some of the demand for property, as well as how we're looking at maintaining kind of a green industry in the construction sector. So be sure to find that on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. Right now, we are heading into some messages and then we'll be taking a look at the subject of littering and whether or not we're creating a new problem for ourselves amidst this pandemic. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Roshan. Now, one thing that is under pressure in recent times has been really our environment, because as we as a globe have undergone this COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of governments and people, we're using a lot of disposable gloves, disposable masks, and this has had a knock-on effect on our environment, because I think there was a French NGO who started seeing in their surveys of beaches and cleanup efforts, they started finding a lot of disposable masks washing up on beaches in France. One report said that in a 100-meter stretch of beach, they found 70 masks. The next day, they found another 30 washed up on the tide. And you know, it's really quite an awful thing, because even this morning, you know, I got out of my car on the way into work at 5, and lo and behold, as soon as I opened my car door, there was a disposable mask on the floor.
It's the same. I mean, I mentioned this a few weeks ago when, you know, because ever since I started running, in the initial days when the MCO was relaxed and I had my first run, the great thing was that there was so little trash. okay, because people weren't allowed to walk around and hence there wasn't a chance for them to throw their litter everywhere. Okay, since then, we're back to square one. We have not learned anything. The trash is there and now there's new trash. And that new trash, like you say, Lynn, this mask, which are just everywhere. Now, I don't understand why, because there's so many, I mean, there's so many negative things about this. Firstly, is that we Malaysians just cannot stop our littering habit. Secondly, is that these masks may contain viruses. They aren't exactly things you should just dispose of just simply on the road. I mean, you're supposed to actually put them away properly, put them in a plastic bag, seal it up and throw them, dispose of them in not such a haphazard manner. And now I find them, like you say, everywhere, on the street, and even because I've got these green litter bins, right, that the government provides, mm-hmm. I open my litter bin and people have thrown their masks into my litter bin, just like that, at the bottom of it. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know, and this is going to be the new environmental problem. So yes, we've had reduced carbon emissions because people don't travel so much, but we created a new problem now.
Yeah, this is something I was a bit concerned about because we've increased our consumption of single-use plastics, but in different forms, right? Single-use disposable items. When people started going delivery, you got more takeout food. That's a lot more trash. But we don't see that as much because I think the one thing this article in The Guardian points out is the fact that these things like masks and plastic bags are very lightweight, which means the wind can carry them all over the place. And it's part of the reason why they end up in the ocean. And this is why before this environmentalist would make highlight things like straws and plastic bags, because it's the same situation. These are all things that are lightweight and can fly and eventually end up in the ocean. This is not saying that people aren't responsible as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I mean, we anecdotally know that people throw. We've seen it. We've driven our cars and seen people just throw cigarette butts out the window. Anecdotally, at least we know that. But this is a concern, right? We need to be able to sort out our trash properly. And even if we do the right thing, is the government side doing it right? Because this is always going to be a concern. Dumps are going to be there anyway.
Yeah, and one of the pieces of information that this article imparts that I was quite startled by is the fact that, you know, these disposable masks have a lifespan of about 450 years. So if you imagine, you know, the sheer number of masks that are going to be dumped into our oceans at the end of this pandemic, you know, in perhaps 2 years, there are estimates that there could be more masks in the sea than jellyfish. And what a horrifying prospect.
I'm very sure very soon we'll have, unfortunately, some dead sea animal, you know, washing up on shore, and then they open it up like a post-mortem and then they find like 100 masks in there, you know, which is stuffed in this poor animal's belly and cannot be digested and probably cause its death. That's going to be the new issue, right? I mean, and the point is, you know, we keep moving from things to things, but the concept is the same. So we had to learn that to not use plastic bags or use them responsibly. Then we had to learn not to use straws, right? Don't use straws. Now we have to learn, or we have to teach people to not use masks. And it's like a never-ending learning process, which, I'm sorry, isn't it a bit common sense to just dispose of your items carefully and not just throw them everywhere?
Yeah, I think it's the larger concept here is reduce your waste, right? If you can take a Tupperware to the food place to get the restaurant, sorry, that's the word for food place, to get your food, do it. If you can take a mug with you to your coffee place instead of taking another paper cup along with you, doing whatever you can to reduce waste is important. But of course, we as the people, the consumption side can only do so much, right? Because industrial waste is a whole different ball game. And just to think, at least I hope that they are disposing their waste responsibly. I think other countries have very strict measures about disposal of waste. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what our measures are aside putting them in the landfill.
Yeah, so let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio telling us, you know, what are some of the new problems that you see cropping up as a result of this COVID-19 pandemic as we try to solve this, in fact. And if this discussion has gotten you very passionate about the idea of saving the environment, well, here's some music to help carry you through that. All fired up by Pat Benatar, leading you into the 6:30 news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Next Year by Foo Fighters, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Xiaoning and Roshan. Now we're taking a look at some international stories now. First on our agenda is Beijing, because Beijing seems to be bracing for a second wave of coronavirus infections. Now this is after authorities closed the Xinfadi Market, which is a sprawling complex that provides most of Beijing's fresh seafood, fruits as well as vegetables. It's not a small area, 112 acres, has some 1,500 hectares. That's right, sorry.
That's even bigger than acres.
It is, and has about 1,500 management personnel and more than 4,000 tenants. Some residential compounds as well on the west side of the city have now been locked down.
Yeah, so city authorities over the weekend confirmed 41 symptomatic cases and 46 without symptoms, many of which had links to this Beijing's largest fresh seafood and vegetable market in the western area of the city. Now, unfortunately for them, I mean, before this, the city had actually gone 50 days without any new cases. So, of course, China has now warned their residents against traveling to Beijing. But my point is, it's very interesting, right? We seem to have these cases centered around markets. And it's not just China. I mean, it's also us in Malaysia. We had that in Selayang. We had that in Jalan Othman PJ Market. There was one case, if I'm not wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Taman Tun Market. So
I'm not sure whether that was confirmed exactly.
Yeah, so it seems to be the breeding spot almost for the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's also probably because of just the sheer traffic and volume of people going in and out. There are all sorts of people come to work there. And yeah, the breeding ground in terms of it, a lot of times the market is wet and damp and all just very ideal. It's a petri dish, essentially, if you don't take care of it. But this is the thing that we've been talking about, right? End of the day, China was the first country, or at least Wuhan was the first province to come out of their lockdown. They were the first to hit, and they were really they did all those measures. This is China's second wave, and this is something that I think all of us have been expecting to happen, but just didn't want it to happen. It's the worry that can we just if the virus dies down, is it just done for? But no, this is always something we're going to have to be careful about going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Beijing went 50 days without having any new cases reported, and now they have a cluster. It just goes to show that we cannot become complacent. You know, we have seen the number of cases coming down slowly here in Malaysia, steadily, slowly but surely. But we can't let up on physical distancing. We can't let up on good hygiene. I happened to be driving through the Pudu area yesterday, around the Pudu fire station. And, you know, there are shop lots on either side of the road and some office spaces, and there are markets there. And as I drove past, I looked at all these people, some of whom were just sitting around chatting with their friends. And I thought, what happened to physical distancing? This looks exactly like it did before the pandemic and the movement control order happened. It's like we went into the RMCO and people just kind of happily went into a state of denial that the COVID-19 pandemic ever happened.
I mean, even yesterday, I think our defense minister, who now we will miss seeing his batik shirts every day, because I think the PCs have been, the press conferences are like alternate days or every 2 days. He said that on air, by the way. It's not just me making fun of him. He knows that his shirts actually bring quite a lot of joy to people, comparisons with kuih and drinks. But aside that, he has noted that, and he pointed out some pictures on Zoo Negara where people were just not practicing physical distancing at all. So I think one thing that we have to bear in mind is that this COVID-19 pandemic is not going away. Our infection rates have come down, but it's something that we have to be mindful of. It's like this, I'm sorry to say, it's like the never-ending war, okay? So we are all soldiers in this, and we just have to keep our defenses up. So in other words, practice that physical distancing, wear your mask when you're outside, keep your hands clean. All these things still are relevant, even if infection rates come down to zero, because you never know when a new cluster may form.
Yeah, I think that's really it, right? Everyone is now looking to Beijing to see, and to China to see how they enter into the economic recovery period. But this should also be a lesson to us that the risk of a second wave of infections cannot be minimized. You know, we can't sweep this under a rug, because as soon as we pretend like nothing's happened, the risk jumps and it becomes even higher. But also just taking a look at another story this morning, a little bit closer to home. Outgoing Petronas President and CEO Tan Sri Wan Zulkifli Wan Arifin, he's urged his colleagues to always keep to their principles. Now, this was a recorded video message to his colleagues in Petronas. He hoped that Petronas would continue to be led by people with, and I quote, courage and conviction.
Yeah, he was quoted as saying, I mean, in the video, that when one is placed in position of trust, one will always face conflicting choices and difficult decisions. He added that sometimes standing by your principles may prove unrewarding and downright unpopular. It's a lonely path that true leaders must tread. Now, we do know that the 60-year-old CEO was, removed by as head of Petronas after spending 37 years with the company, although some say he resigned. He started his career in Petronas as an engineer and became the head of company in 2015. Now, we cannot underestimate the importance that Petronas plays in government, government's revenue, our economy. As in 2019 alone, the government paid 24 billion ringgit in normal dividends to the government, which is just under 10% of the total government revenue. In fact, oil and gas is easily 20% of our GDP.
Yeah, so... Yeah. This is one of the things that we must keep our eye on. And another thing is as well, the budget 2021 tabling, which is supposed to be, which has been delayed from October 2nd now to November 6th, because the third session of Parliament for the year has been postponed from October and will instead start November 2nd. And our Dewan Rakyat Speaker Tan Sri Mohd Arif has added that the tabling of the 12th Malaysia Plan has also been postponed from August 6th to a as yet to be determined date.
Now, this is the part that begins to worry me a little bit, because we are facing what is really difficult times from an economic perspective, right? We really have to think about the scar tissue that the COVID-19 has caused. Now, it just is baffling as to why the government is not announcing these measures sooner rather than later and postponing budget and then 12 Malaysia plan. Don't we need to really see what the medium long-term plans for the country are?
Yeah, and I think these two things that we just talked about, right, Petronas and the budget, these are very closely related things. I think, Shanning, you said 10% of government revenue comes from Petronas on its own. It's going to be very important, this budget, because it's going to be the recovery budget, right? It's going to be the first budget after COVID-19. It's going to set the tone for the next few years, or at least the next year ahead of us. And we also want to see how much Petronas may or may not have to contribute more to the budget in order to support it, because taxes, I don't know how much tax is going to contribute if people have lost their jobs, if incomes have been down. The 12th Malaysia Plan, which is supposed to be the medium-term plan for the country, is being pushed forward with no determined date. Lots of questions there. But that said, we have gone through the biggest demand disruption in the last 50 years or so since World War II. So maybe a bit of the benefit of the doubt may be required when it comes to this.
No benefit of doubt for me. I want it discussed as soon as possible. And also check and balance that is, debated, because these are important things. Our economy is critical.
So lots of things are yet to be seen. But right now we are heading into some messages. And then after that, we're bringing you the front pages of the newspapers. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was New Light by John Mayer, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. 6:54 a.m. Monday the 15th of June, and we have the front pages of the newspapers in front of us this morning. I have the New Straits Times in front of me, and their headline is Don't Abuse Freedom. So this is the authorities cautioning Malaysians to adhere to SOPs, even though the country is now under the RMCO. And this is, I think we referenced this, defense senior minister pointed out reports of overcrowding at Zoo Negara. So there is a picture here. I think it is at Zoo Negara, if the banner of a giraffe in the corner is any indication.
But just notice how many people are not wearing masks in the picture.
Yes, and how many people are walking so very close together. But then granted, you know, you don't know how much of this is a bit of a like a perspective game,
yeah, true.
Right?
But the mask thing?
Mask thing is true. So this is the issue, right? It's very tempting to see, you know, oh, RMCO is back. Oh, no more roadblocks. Oh, no more, you know, what have you. So life goes on as normal, but it shouldn't.
No, unfortunately, we can't. Well, I have the Malaysian Reserve in front of me, and the headline is Government Denies KTMBRAC Merger Plan, which is something we talked about, I think, a few weeks ago. Well, because we do know that KTM is in dire straits financially. They have huge debts. So I think the government is looking at different options. But actually, I want to draw, you know, everyone's attention to this op-ed piece on page... Oh, see, I can't even find the page. Okay, page... Sorry. Okay, this is on... it doesn't even have a number. Page 10. And it's
missing
actually,
page.
Missing page. It's actually an op-ed piece. It's by the editor-in-chief of the Malaysian Reserve, Muhammad Azlan Jaafar. Read it, because he has an interesting comments on Wanzo, Petronas, and the dark storms ahead.
Interesting stuff. All right, and now, Roshan, what else do you have in front of you?
A slightly lighter, but not so light note. Actually, Malaysia Kini has a special report on their main page of the portal about the Malaysia's live music scene. Now, this is a scene that's been significantly hit, right? Because if people can't go to restaurants and people can't do live music or do concerts or events, and these are things that are, for the foreseeable future, going to be in the doldrums for a lot of them, they can't really make money. Now, a lot of them have turned online, have tried to do... musicians that I know who are trying to do concerts online, but a lot of them have to look at different ways of generating income. And this is something that's going to be a significant hit to a lot of them. I think even one that is close to my home, Merdekaya, has to look at a way of pivoting away from live music. And this is something we may take for granted in Malaysia, but I mean, there's nothing like going for a concert to really feel the vibe. There's only so much you can get from a virtual concert.
Yeah, I think we also had a conversation about this on the Morning Brief. I think it was last month. And we spoke to Iqbal Amir, who's Group CEO of the Livescape Group, which does organise these kinds of concerts and live events. And I still remember one of the things he said was that the live event scene was one of the first to be disrupted and will likely one of be the last to recover. Because, you know, people are... before this, I would have said people are still hesitant about being in crowds. But, you know, some of the pictures emerging of the new RMCO makes me doubt a little bit whether or not people actually are hesitating at all.
Yeah, and I've got the Age Weekly, and they are also covering Petronas. The headline is Leadership Change at Petronas, the Departure, you know, raises questions. They've also got an interesting story on page 10, which is PNB CEO Jalil said to be leaving. I think there's a question mark over that. And ironically, we did have a breakfast grill with him. Koh Siu Chuang did have a little chat with him, I think, last week. Listen to that on the BFM app and on Spotify.
All right, and that is all that we have for you from the papers this morning, because we're about to head into the 7 o'clock news bulletin, and then we're bringing you the serious end of the Morning Run. Lots more business stories and analysis. But first, here is Bob Dylan with Subterranean Homesick Blues, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.